I'll be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good morning, and welcome. Welcome to everyone who's come our way today. A special welcome to our guests. We're so thankful to have you here, and it's great to welcome some of our families from the Mothers of Preschoolers Ministry that meets here a couple of times a month. We're thankful that you took the time to be with us today, and we have to welcome our youngest little one to that group. Benjamin is here, just between 2 and 3 weeks old. Yeah, right back there. Yeah, he's getting some love from his brothers and sisters back there. But we appreciate the Pius family, and just thank you for coming out with your little one so young. And our family and our friends who are with us today, we just thank you for being here. It means a lot to us. And for you to change your schedule, to change your life, to come and be with us this morning, to worship together, to have some time in fellowship, it's a blessing to us. We thank God for you. You're important to us. And we hope and pray that you'll have an opportunity today to really praise and worship the Lord and be encouraged in your life and to really keep your mind and get your thoughts, like all of us do today, on Jesus. I need to give you a little bit of a heads up, though, especially if you're first-timers here. I have sort of a reputation. I think it's somewhat unfair, but I have sort of a reputation of preaching long sermons. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. I set you all up, of course. I do have some help. I have a timer sitting right down here in the front, just right here. I've got Rod as my timer. And Rod tells me occasionally, and rightfully so, Richard, you seem to have trouble bringing the plane in for a landing. And I do like to go around the airport a few times, you know. And so I thought it would only be fair to give you some strategies. If you have something planned like at 2 or 2:30 today and you're going to want to be getting out for that, I thought maybe I should give you some strategies. I thought if you have some children near you or with you, I don't want any kids to get hurt. I was thinking like saying pinch their but I don't want any, but if a child starts to cry, that's a great way. You can get up, take care of your child. No one knows after that what you'll do. You can always say, hey, do you need to go to the bathroom? I mean, which kid right now, if you ask them that, wouldn't say I do? So that gives you some cover. If you don't have a child, look around. There may be a child sitting near you, and you can work something out. Something that I find, since I don't have little kids with me, is like, take out that cell phone. Get a really concerned look on your face, like, oh, I wonder what this must be, and hold it up to your ear and make your way out talking in whispered tones, you know, and we'll all think it's very, very important. It's an emergency, and then, you know, you can take it from there. You can always do what the locals do, okay? Just sit down, relax, enjoy the morning. I really appreciate it, though, if you would keep your mouth closed. That's just, I can take sleepers, but the mouth open thing, that's a little rough. But, you know, I try to be concise, but on a day like today, when maybe we have some folks that we only see you this day, there's so many things I'd like to talk to you about. There's so many things I'd like to say. I'd like to talk to you about our California Bible Adventure, our great teachers and the kids and the wonderful program, or talk to you about the Mothers of Preschooler Ministry, or the passion we have here for the Word of God, or the desire we really have to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in the community and the world. As our banner says, to bear fruit that will last, to be productive in the kingdom of God. There's so much I'd like to say, but that's where I always go wrong. I have too much that I want to say, and I thought today I'll get it down to a word. What if I could get it down to a single word? And then, of course, it was, well, which word? I mean, the first word that popped in my mind was grace. How can you go wrong with grace? Who doesn't want to talk a lot about grace or mercy or joy or the peace that we have in Christ or salvation or God or hope? There's so many wonderful words. And then it really hit me what I wanted to say to you today. It is a single word, but it's a name. It's a name that contains all those other things, our hope, our ability to see God and to know God. So today, the lesson in a word is Jesus. In a word, Jesus. Jesus is the heart of who we are, what we believe, and what motivates us to live a life of faith. It all comes down to Jesus. And when you think about Jesus, it's there's so much to say about Jesus. And my thought this week went to the passage that Carlos just read to us a few moments ago. That first verse right over here on the wall. It's over here on this side. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, that's Jesus, isn't it? We find out later in the passage that Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus himself is God. And yet, as we read down in verse 14 of that text, this Word that has been with us from the beginning, the Word becomes flesh. That's just about the most amazing thing I think has ever been written. The Word, the living God, the God who speaks the world into existence, becomes a human being, is born of a woman conceived by the Holy Spirit, and comes to this earth to live here among us, in our skin, to walk in our shoes, to live our life, to be tempted and tried and face the problems and challenges that all of us do. He's going to get hungry, he's going to get thirsty, he's going to get tempted. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to lose people that he loves in death. He's going to weep over that. And he's going to suffer. And suffer beyond anything we can imagine. Of course, God himself comes to this earth and he's going to die. He's going to face death as a human being. It's absolutely amazing. John says, we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so it is that God comes here among us in Jesus Christ. And he doesn't come to the earth just to kind of see what it's like. It's not that he just thought he would come and visit us for a while. We know why he comes. He comes because of the mess of this world that we've made because of sin. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, our grandparents, fouled everything up. When sin enters the world and death enters the world. And from that, and we don't have to look very far to see the effects of sin around us in our own time, in our own lives. Jesus comes because of that, to make it right. He doesn't come out of curiosity. He comes because we are ruined. We're lost. We're stumbling. We look at the people, we're just stumbling from one thing to another. We're looking for something. Everybody wants it. We're looking for meaning. We're looking for some fulfillment, some happiness. We're trying to make sense of life. And we can just go from one thing to the next, and it doesn't fulfill us. It doesn't give us what we're looking for. And Jesus sees it, and he sees the burdens, and he sees the hurts, and he sees our failures, and he sees how great our need is. And so he comes to do something about it. He comes to make things right. God in the flesh, to show us God himself, and then to live a perfect life. To do something that we can't do for ourselves. And we know in the scriptures, we're taught that Jesus lives this perfect life and then is able to take upon himself the punishment for sin that you and I deserve. His love for us is so great that he doesn't want us to suffer that fate. So God comes in the flesh in Jesus, and he takes that pain and suffering upon himself in order to bring about our redemption. That's what we just remembered around that table. The bread is his body. The cup is his blood, to remember, to be reminded every week of what our God has done for us. And he's taken that upon himself. And he dies for us, and he's raised in power, and he ascends into the heavens. Because of the need that you and I have. And while he's here, he speaks to us. He speaks to the people. He teaches them. He talks to them about his love for them and us and his desire for us. And we come today to a very simple text, a very short text. Our brother Tim read it to us at the very beginning this morning. As Jesus stands there in Galilee, the area where he grew up, Northern Israel. There are people surrounding him, and he's there teaching, and he looks into their faces, and he says to them, come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. These are his people. He's lived there. He knows these people. He knows what they go through. He knows what their day in and day out life is all about. He knows their struggles. He sees it in their eyes. He sees it in their lives. And he sees it in yours and mine. He still does. And he issues that invitation not just 2,000 years ago, but it's the love that he has for us now to come to him and find the rest that we need. When I first thought of rest, I thought, you know, sometimes we just need rest. I mean, sometimes we just need to sit down and take a break and get some rest because of the way our lives are so filled with activities and with schedules. And one of the images that I always think of when I think about how hectic life is, you know, is the plate spinner. And it's like, just one more plate, just one more. And he keeps adding one more. And sometimes life is that way. I'm not sure everything that might be going on in your life, but sometimes it's like that, isn't it? It's like one more, one more, one more, and then this one starts to wobble, and you have to run across the room and try to keep that one up and keep it in balance. And then if you have an extended family, if you have kids, if you have other things going on, I mean, it just explodes, and it's like, what in the world is going on in my life? Look at it, and it's like there's 1,000 things to do. And I think about some of the young families today and what you're facing. With school and schoolwork and homework and school activities and church and Bible school. And then, of course, you've got things like your job and your extended family and the pressures of work, all of the things that come down on us, and we're just going from one thing to another, and sometimes it's so difficult, and you just think, I need a break, I need some rest. And you know, I remember those days. I remember them back when we had 4 kids at home and we were living that kind of life. And I wish I could tell you it's going to get better. You have fewer plates, but you have less energy when you get to be my age, you know. So it's like, this is just kind of the way it is in life. You may have a few less plates one of these days, but there may be a little less energy to accompany that. And there are times when we just feel stressed and full of anxiety, and everything is pressing around us. And Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. This may not be the primary thing that Jesus has in mind in this passage, but I think it's one of them, because sometimes we're just overwhelmed. We aren't sure what to do. We aren't sure which thing to do. And you know, one of the ways that Jesus gives us rest is that he tells us what's most important. When we have all of these plates to spin, Jesus can point out which are the most important. And Jesus can teach us when to say no to certain things, and to how to have wisdom to choose and discernment, to be able to plan our life with his priorities in view. Jesus can give us rest, and one of the rests that he gives us, and we trust him, and we trust his leadership in this matter, is we realize we can be at rest in peace, and we can be content even if we don't get all the plates going that everybody else thinks we should spend. Jesus gives us the ability to put our trust in him, to know that he will direct our lives, he will control our lives, that we don't have to meet everybody else's expectations, but that we can follow him. There's other ways that we have burdens, other ways that we get weary in life. We lose a job and wonder how we're going to take care of our family, ourselves. Or we get the job, but it's not as much as the other one was, and we wonder how in the world are we going to be able to support our families on the income that we have. Or we're a young mother at home deciding, do I go back to work? Do I stay home with the kids? How do we educate our children? Do we send them to the public school, to the Christian school, do we homeschool? And you can bet when you're making any kind of decision like this, there are a lot of folks who have opinions. And we'd be glad to share them with you if you'd ask them. And we have these pressures that come upon us, and we have to make decisions about them, and we don't always know the way that we ought to go. Had a friend who was 40 years old, 42, 43, or something like that, and he decided to start a new career. Went back to school, got a journalism degree. You know what I mean? How do you know when to do that? When to launch out into something new, when maybe conventional wisdom would say not to? We have a lot of decisions that we have to make in our lives. Do I go back to school? What am I going to do with the debt? Am I ever going to get completely out of debt? Is it possible? Some of us may be worried about that. Or retirement, is it going to hold up? Is it going to be there? Am I going to be able to enjoy that? Am I going to have enough? It's just all the problems and stresses. You know, one of the things that some of us, a lot of us here I know are dealing with now, are making decisions for our parents. And it's just a whole different level of concern and stress and wondering, am I making the right decision? And feeling the guilt of not being able to be there enough. And all we have so much that goes on in our life, so many pressures that come against us, so many things that make us weary and burdened. And Jesus says, in the midst of the stress and the anxiety and the frustration sometimes at just trying to figure out how to navigate the decisions of life, Jesus says, I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. And he does. In all of these things, when we bring them to him, when we bring these concerns to the Lord, and we pray for guidance, and we pray for discernment, and we look for his direction, and we seek his will, and we put ourselves into his hands, and we allow him to have his way in our life, it's amazing how the Lord brings us through so many decisions, so many issues and problems and pressures in life we would never have been able to get through on our own, and to be able to do it with a sense of peace, to really have comfort, to really be content, to have within ourselves rest for our souls, to be confident in Jesus Christ, to overcome that burden. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest burdens that I face in my life is just the burden of failure, the burden of sin, the burden of falling short of what God wants me to be, and I know what I want to be. And I mess up, and I fall to temptation, and I struggle, and I know I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything to forgive that sin. I can't undo that sort of thing. I can't stop the temptations from coming. And sometimes we look back on life and we have a sense of shame or regret. And Jesus says to us, come to me. I'll give you rest. And when we hear those words from Jesus when it comes to this burden, we know what it's going to cost him. We know for Jesus to take this burden off of our shoulders, it's going to be to take it on his own, to give up his own life for us. And in the cross, we see this grace of God. We see how willing and how far God is willing to go to relieve our burden by sending his own son to die on our account. Come to me and find rest. We sang a few moments ago one of my favorite verses of all. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's the burden being lifted by the blood of Christ, by the grace of God. And so many of us here have come to faith. We've confessed our faith. We've come to Jesus. We've fallen before him. We've accepted his lordship. We've been united with him in baptism. We've been forgiven of sin, of our sins. We've received the Spirit. We've become this body of Christ, this family, to worship him, to give God praise, to give God our lives, because God has lifted the burden of sin from us. And this peace that we have and rest is so amazing that we even enjoy peace and contentment and rest in the face of the greatest danger or enemy that man has, and that's death. It's a picture of Jim and Wynn McCarty and their three kids. Jim and Wynn were like Ellen, our best friends. This was taken last year at their 50th wedding anniversary in Arkansas. How much do I love Jim? I drove to Arkansas to see him. I don't go to Arkansas very often for sure, but we were back there last year. We met them in 1974. Wynn and Ellen hit it right off, and they did everything together, raised our kids together. They went to sign language school together, started a signing ministry out at the Yucaipa Church together, because after we were in Yucaipa, the McCartys moved to Yucaipa. We were part of the same church family for many, many years. And Jim and I were a little, maybe not, you wouldn't have thought right at first we'd become so close. Jim was a police officer, and I was a young preacher. I was 22 years old when I met Jim. And boy, I remember going on ride-alongs with him and getting to know him. But what really tied us together, two things: Christ, number one, and chess. We played probably 3,000 games of chess over the lifetime of our friendship. Why is this picture up there? Well, a lot of you know, because we've been praying for Jim. But Jim's been in ICU for the last week, just holding on to life, just holding on. We talk to Wynn most every day, and when I put this together, I honestly didn't know when I stood here before you today if Jim would be alive or if he'd gone to be with the Lord. But I knew this. Either way, Jim and his wife and his children and those of us who know and love Jim and the Lord would be living with peace and rest and comfort. Because the peace that Christ gives us is everlasting and it reaches beyond the grave. It never ends. And the Lord calls us to come to Him to receive that grace. It's only possible because of Jesus Christ and His overcoming of all of our enemies. But you know, this peace, this rest, this comfort, it doesn't just kind of fall down miraculously on everybody in the world, does it? It doesn't. And yet the Lord wants it to. The Lord wants everyone to receive this. And that's why He says, come to Me. He knows that that's the way that this is going to take place. Jesus calls us to believe. He says, you come to Me. Look who I am. Believe in Me. Trust in Me. Listen to Me. Learn from Me. And in that relationship, we can find peace with God. It's not that there's something you or I can do to get this peace. There's no work to do to get this peace or comfort. We can't earn it in any way whatsoever. But Jesus knows the only way that you really receive this peace is in a relationship with Him. That it's through that relationship. And so He says to us, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. It's like, okay, all this nice talk of comfort and, you know, burdens being lifted and tenderness, all these tender words, and then all of a sudden we've got a yoke. I mean, a yoke isn't very tender. A yoke is a wooden implement that you put on a couple of oxen so that you can direct them, which I'm not, you know, that whole imagery may be, you know, may be a little bit offensive to us, but Jesus says, I want you to take My yoke upon you. I want you to learn from Me. I want you to be under My control. And it's not that Jesus is wanting to do that because He's some taskmaster that's trying to get something out of us, but He knows, I want you to have peace. I want you to find rest. I want you to be blessed with everything you need. And Jesus knows the only way that can happen is to be linked with Him, to submit to His Lordship, to know Him, to love Him, to come to Him. As He says, come and learn of Me. And that's how this peace and rest is ours for our soul. We come to Jesus. We come to Him. We learn from Him. We listen to His Word. We're yoked to Him. We allow Him to take control. We trust the place that He takes us in life. And we live contently in that place, surrendering to Him. And when we do, when we hear that call and follow it, we receive His blessing. As He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus' yoke isn't some heavy, heavy thing that cuts into you, that's going to hurt you, that's going to bring harm to you. Jesus' yoke is fashioned out of His love for you. It's fashioned out of the grace of God and the faith that you and I have in Him. And it's easy, and it's light. And it's with that yoke that He moves our lives and directs us as we trust in Him. And the amazing thing that happens when you put that kind of trust in the Lord is you do receive that rest. You do receive that rest. I look among us today, and I think we've gone through it all. If you put our lives together, we've gone through it all. We've lost jobs. We've gone through bankruptcy. We've dealt with chronic pain. We've gone through chemotherapy. We've lost loved ones to disease. We face our own suffering. We've gone through divorce. We've gone through problems within our families. We face the stresses of life every day. We haven't found everything right. And you know, the peace that Jesus brings us isn't this, it isn't this kind of peace that just everything is cheery and everything is taken care of. Some people may tell you that about the Christian faith. It's simply not true. But what it is trusting Jesus in those times and finding peace and comfort and contentment and finding that His promises are true, that He does bring that kind of peace to our life when we surrender. That's the peace and the rest that we have in Christ. And simply put, if you're looking for rest for your souls, if you're looking for peace in the turmoil of life, if you're looking for the only way to find true contentment in a world that's filled with anxiety and frustration, in a word, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. As He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. It's Jesus. There's salvation in no one else, Peter says in Acts 4:12. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. We point all of us today to Jesus to be reminded of who He is and how He longs to bless us, how He longs to give us peace, how He longs to forgive us, how He longs to direct us, to fill our lives with meaning and purpose, so that the name of Jesus is the name on our lips every day, a name in prayer, a name in praise, until that day. But as Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today, if there's hurt in your life, we point you to Jesus. If there's anxiety or frustration, disappointment or bereavement, grief in your heart, we point you to Jesus. And if there's any way we as a church family can help you at this particular moment in your time, we invite you to answer the call of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.